will drive this boat forward. The spiritual master, the captain who steers the boat. And yes, the outstretched arms of the devotees who chant like this are like the oars. Is this the right English word? Oars. They row the boat across. Oh, people of the world, please come into this boat. Don't remain standing on the bank of death. Hare Krishna. Yeah. This is a very nice verse like this.
And Sachinandan Maharaj
ki. Hare Krishna. Good, so I thought, since today is a very special day, that we will talk a little bit on the significance of the Kartik and the Kartik Vrata. Is our Muli Varaka here?
Yes, he's there.
Where?
In the back.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Muli Varaka, please sit a little in front so that we can see your auspicious smile. Ah, here.
Krishnadas Kadaraj Goswami described my situation. Just hearing my name is going to lose their pious activities. Why does God not see me?
Murli.
Can't mention my name anymore.
Murli Dhara is the name of Krishna. Murli Varaka also. Yes, so today is the beginning of a special month, the month of Kartik. And this month is very, 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 very special. There is a... moment. In the ancient Purana, the Padma Purana, thank you. There is actually a description of the glories of the Kartik Vrata. It's Lord Krishna who speaks to his queen, Satyabhama, and tells her an ancient story which describes the glories of this particular month, which starts this evening, really. Krishna tells Satyabhama, his dear queen, that once there was a Brahmana Daneshvara who unfortunately became a criminal. It is described that he became addicted to sins, and for his livelihood, he sold liquor and the skins of animals. So one day, this Brahmana Daneshvara decided to go for his business of selling these unmentionable goods to the river Mahishmati, where he came upon different Vaishnavas who were all performing their particular vows for the month of Kartik, their Kartik Vratas. For instance, he saw some Vaishnavas singing and dancing like we have just done. He saw others discussing from the scriptures, the Bhagavad Purana, etc. And he could hear the name of Vishnu from their mouths as they were performing their respective vratas or vows on the bank of this sacred river, Mahishmati. Now, as Daneshvara mixed with all these brahmanas, he tried to sell liquor and his animal hides or furs, but he mixed with them, and all of a sudden, it was one evening, he stepped upon a black snake, and the snake bit him, and he died immediately. Now, the moment he died, he was taken by the messengers of death, the Yamadutas, to the hellish planets, and it was ordered that he, Daneshvara, would be cooked alive in a pot with burning oil. Hare Krishna. too hot. When they put him into this pot of the burning oil, all of a sudden the oil became cool. The heat was gone. And the officer who was in charge of this particular punishment was bewildered. It had never happened before that in the hellish planets the fire stopped burning and became cool. This was very, very disturbing. And he informed Yamaraj, something is wrong in hell. The flames become, the oil pots became cool. What to do? Some mechanical fault? Or so Yamaraj, the god of death, did not know what had happened to this hell called Kumbhipak. And just then, Narada Muni arrived. And after Narada Muni was properly honored by Yamaraj, he said to Yamaraj, the reason why this hell became cool is because Daneshvara, although he personally did not do any spiritual activities in this month of Kartik, mixed and mingled with those who did so. And then he spoke a verse. I think this verse is very important for us. One who sees, one who touches, and one who talks to those who perform meritorious acts obtain 1/6 of the merit of performing these deeds. So Daneshvara was on this river bank and he saw all these devotees chanting, and he also talked to them, and while he was going around them, he must have touched them, and he got 1/6 of the benefit of their good activities. My dear devotees, isn't this what we feel when we mix with spiritually advanced personalities? We do get part of their spirituality in our hearts. We could see this today in the Harinam. People saw the Harinam, they talked to those who were chanting, and all of a sudden they developed the same symptoms of stretching their arms in the sky, singing, and so on. They got precisely 1/6 of the qualities of the devotees who were there. This is really a general rule which happens in association. When you have association, especially with those who are spiritually minded, you do get some of the spiritual qualities, or let us say the spiritual atmosphere. And that was the reason why Daneshvara was now no longer fit for the hot oil, and the hot oil became refreshingly cool. Amazing, isn't it? Narada Muni continues, for the entire month of Kartik, he had innumerable contacts with persons observing their sacred vows. He therefore shared a portion of their religious or spiritual merit. Therefore he should not be punished. He deserves a higher position. Now, you might ask, but what happened? I mean, he did things, you know. He had sex with prostitutes and killed them while he had sex with them. Hare Krishna. I mean, he was a heavy one. He was not a lightweight. He was a heavyweight in the area of materialistic sins. Narada Muni said, well, because he had done all these things, he will have to see one time the hellish planets, but he will not suffer. He's just to be led through this hell. I feel this happens often to people who become devotees. There is a purport in the Bhagavatam that when you become a devotee, there may be karmic reactions which are still due. It's almost like when you sit in a restaurant, you have ordered already your meat preparation, but while you sit there and wait, you read vegetarianism is better, and then you don't want to take any more meat. But still, the waiter will come and show you what you have ordered. So in the same way, when you decide to become a devotee or a spiritual person, and you decide, no, I will no longer engage in materialistic activities, sometimes it is that you will have disturbing dreams and you see what you have ordered by your activities in your dreams. Do some of you sometimes dream the impossible dreams? No one is now saying, they all smile. I have very pious dreams all the time. No, sometimes you dream dreams which are like, you don't believe what you dream. What, me? I'm a very exalted soul, but no, you dream as if you were in the cinema. You know, it's unexalted dreams you have. Are your karmic reactions, which you would have to suffer if you would not have taken the spiritual life. Now you only are shown the results of your activities in a dream. It is not touching you more than that. Just a dream. So Daneshvara also, because he was so bad, had to see the hellish planets, but just on sightseeing. He did not have to boil or anything like that. So this shows you, my dear devotees, that the month of Kartik is a very, very special month. Even those who just see those who follow Kartik vows or vratas during this time have a high benefit. Now, what to speak of those who are performing spiritual activities during the month of Kartik. Today in the temple, we encouraged all the temple devotees that they do during this 1 month one special spiritual activities, and it will be rewarded thousand of times more than at any other time. And I want to also encourage all of you, even those who just came in from the street and want to listen to or want to be present in this spiritual evening, if you can do something from the full moon which rises today in the night. When we leave this place, we should search the sky for the full moon. I couldn't find it today. It's yet not up. But when we are finishing the program, it will be there. So from that full moon to the next full moon, that's one entire month, you should do something spiritual, even or something good, even if you decide, okay, for 1 month I will not speak a lie. Hare Krishna.
That's a tough one
in New York. You will see great, great, great benefits in your life. Or if in your spiritual practice you add one particular thing. My request to you.
Just a second.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna. I'm very, very grateful to be amongst all of you. It is always a great culture shock to come to America, but it is so soothing to enter into the variegated atmosphere of New York, and then when one sees the smiling lotus faces of the devotees and friends of Lord Krishna, one becomes gladdened in his heart, and one is not at all disturbed, but inspired to go on with life. Hare Krishna. I've just come from Washington, D.C., where we had something which I feel we should do in the future here in New York. We had a wonderful, deep Japa retreat, that is a retreat which was solely focused on making spiritual experiences. Before coming to America, I gave such a retreat in the midst of the blue Mediterranean Sea in Croatia. Do you know where that is in the on the map, Croatia? Near Italy, yes, near Italy. And we had gone on an island. We had rented a hotel and transformed the hotel into a temple. And then we had around 100 devotees there, and we really led them in an experience of you know, coming face to face with Krishna through the path of transcendental sound vibration. It was something very moving, something very, I should say, yes, was a milestone in people's life. I remembered one day we had finished that intense meditational day, so the next day I wanted the group to relax a little and ordered a huge boat which came on our island. It had to drive for 25 miles through the ocean, and then it came with a herd of dolphins and just landed before our hotel. And then we went with this boat along the coast. We chanted all the time with our instruments and sang. It was really ecstatic, and arrived finally in one laguna where we went on the shore by the help of a small boat which had to row us back and forth. And then we continued to chant there. It was a very moving experience, and I think in the future we should do such a retreat a little bit outside of, let us say, that dense mode of passion, which is in the center of Manhattan. Something on the side in the forests of New York State, upper state. This would be very good for you. Because, see, in our spiritual life, we need one nourishment. And that nourishment is not grains. This nourishment which we require for our spiritual life has nothing to do with potatoes and butter on top of it. It's It's transcendental experience. That is so important. So I will just move the microphone a little bit. We have opened the windows, so soon there should be enough oxygen for all of you. That is our sincere hope. I will sit a little higher so that I can see your smiling faces. Yes, today starts a very special month. It is the month of Kartik, or the Damodar month. Damodar is one form of Krishna, which means he was bound around his belly. If there is anything which can bind God, anything which can keep him in our heart, and keep him from leaving us, it is love and love only. So the month of Damodar, which starts really technically with this full moon, which is at this present moment rising over Manhattan, when you leave the temple or the little ashram here, you will certainly be able to see the full moon, and please make it a point to just look and search him on the sky. This full moon is the full moon signifying or signaling or heralding the beginning of the month of Kartik. It's the moon of love, the Sharad Purnima in Sanskrit. Let me describe to you what happened in this full moon night during Krishna's appearance. During this full moon night, as the moon colored the eastern horizon with its pink color, Krishna went into the forest of Vrindavan. There, on the banks of the river Yamuna, he put his celebrated flute to his lips and started to play. When Krishna plays his flute, something very special happens. The love which he feels in his heart for his devotees pours into the hole of the flute, and from the flute the song which is produced on the flute calls his devotees to come towards him. In other words, Krishna's flute play is not musical entertainment, but a call of love. So his dearest devotees, the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan, felt immediately this call, and they responded. They responded by leaving everything behind, their households, their babies even, their cooking, and rushed into the forest of Vrindavan to meet their beloved Lord. I want to ask you a question which is directly connected with this. Who is attracted to Krishna? Everyone? The gopis? Who's attracted to God? He is, actually everyone is attracted to God, but not if they are covered with rust, the rust and of material life. It's just like iron. Iron is very naturally attracted to a magnet. In fact, all iron responds to the drawing, the pulling force of the magnet. All iron except that iron which has become covered with rust. Do we say in English rust? You understand this brown thing, huh? That steals away the responsibility or the ability to respond to God's attractive pull. This happens also in our lives. When we are covered with the Prabhuji, listen very carefully, because this may relate to your life. When we are covered with material desires and material attachments, we just cannot feel that attraction to Krishna. Instead, we feel attraction to Maya, to illusion, a scandal, a great scandal. We lose actually that ability to respond to Krishna's call, which is all the time there. So when we can ask the question, who's attracted to Krishna, we can answer the question, he and she is attracted who's free from rust, from the rusty dirt of material consciousness. Hare Krishna. I was in one conference recently where environmental problems and issues were discussed. And then my turn came to speak, and I said, we speak so much about the pollution of the environment, but do you know that there is another much more serious pollution, which is the root of environmental pollution? It's the pollution of the consciousness. Hare Krishna. The consciousness becomes polluted by greed, anger, lust, and madness. So these gopis responded to Krishna. They left everything and they ran into the dark forest. It was not altogether dark. They ran into the moonlit forest, we have to say, to see Krishna. When Krishna saw them, he began to joke with them. Oh, beautiful gopis, it is not becoming if young girls see a young boy in the midst of the night. Now you please go home. Or I suspect that you know about these ethical and moral rules, so I think you have not come to see me in the midst of the in the forest of Vrindavan. I think you just wanted to see how beautiful the forest is when it is lit by the moonlight. Now you have completed your sightseeing experience. Now you may go home. This is what Krishna may, or God may do. He may first pull us, attract us, that our heart yearns to meet him. But then finally, when we come before him, we are tested. Hare Krishna. Are we sincere? Are we eager enough? Are we only a show bottle devotee? Or are we for real? Today I was at Union Square, and we danced to the singing of our Keshava Acharya. And there was one man, and I was thinking, he looked so threatening. He looked like a bulldog in the attacking position. And I was worried, maybe we would have an accident, a conflict, and so on. I approached him and said, you are not feeling good today? You look a little bit, something is in... No, no, he said, I'm a devotee. Then he grabbed into his shirt and said, here, see? In my mind, I thought, he is a show bottle devotee. because a devotee doesn't look so aggressive in the midst of the kirtan that you feel the next moment there will be a cruel assassination of the kirtan leader. So sometimes we find devotees who are only devotees up to the skin, where they display the items of a devotee, and neck beads, and maybe in the language they say, instead of hello, Haribol. devotee life must not be skin deep, it must be heart deep. So these gopis had given everything for their beloved Lord Krishna. And when Krishna was now sending them home, they felt totally miserable. They said, Syam Sundar, you know why we have come. We have come to meet you and be together with you in our very intimate relationship. You kindly stop your joking. So Krishna was with all these gopis together. There was one gopi who was the most special amongst all of them. You all know her name. It's Srimati Radharani. And Krishna desired to show and present the specialty of Srimati Radharani. So, when Radha saw that there were so many other gopis, she felt, oh, I want to be with my Krishna. And she left the gopis and went alone into the forest. Krishna met her there, and they spent time together. And then Radha, for a moment, felt, oh, Krishna, I cannot walk any longer with you through the forest. She felt very happy to be with Krishna and a little bit proud that, oh, Krishna has left all the others and is with me. And she said, Krishna, if you want to continue to walk through the forest like we have done up till now, then you will have to carry me. Krishna smiled his mysterious smile. He said, oh yes, please climb on my back. As Radharani was just about to climb on his back, Krishna disappeared. He was gone. Radha could not find him any longer anywhere. And in the pangs of separation from Krishna, she became almost as mad. She fell on the ground and she looked as if a fresh flash. Flesh, is it a flesh? Lightning flesh? had fallen from the dark sky onto the ground and was now illuminating the ground with her beautiful brilliance. It was in this position that the other gopis who had started to search after Krishna after he had left them, found Srimati Radharani. A brilliant golden lightning which had fallen from the sky and was now covering the ground of Vrindavan forest. They saw how Radharani was lamenting for Krishna who had left. Radharani was chanting this verse, Ashlishya va pararatam. Oh, my dear Lord, you have left me. But for me it is irrelevant if you are together with me or if you leave me. You can do whatever you want with me because you are always my Lord unconditionally. In this way, Radharani expressed the highest climax of devotional attachment, that is an unconditional love. How often we want Krishna or God to respond to our own plans. We say we surrender to you, Krishna, but only in the areas where we like eating extra amounts of ice cream or pizza. There we surrender to you. Or we surrender to you by coming to a blissful kirtan. But Krishna doesn't always want to respond to our terms. Krishna wants to lovingly draw us to practice our spiritual life on his terms. And for that reason, he may sometimes put his devotees in a situation where the devotees' loyalty and faith is severely challenged. Then he wants to see, how will my devotee now act? Is he only a good sunshine devotee, a good weather devotee, who is out in the devotional field when there is nice weather? Or is he also continuing his devotion when the storms of change are blowing into his life? This is Krishna. He wants to bring us to the real level of God consciousness. That's unconditional surrender. So when the gopis saw Radharani in her lamentation for Krishna, they understood, oh, she who can so much cry after Krishna is the Lord's highest devotee. And they took Radharani in their midst and went with Radharani to the deepest areas of the Vrindavan forest, where not even the strong moonlight was falling, to search for Krishna. But Krishna could not be found. Have you ever searched for God? Have you ever in your life consciously wanted to have a sign from Krishna what you should do? Sometimes he may be silent. Have you experienced this? Yes, we have experienced this. He may be silent. How can you what did the gopis do to find Krishna? We can learn from this. After they saw that they couldn't find Krishna, no matter how intensely they performed their search party and went into the remote areas of the forest, they returned to the Jamuna River and sat in the white sand in that wonderful night of love, that when the full moon rose. They sat there. Do you know what they did? They began to sing in their beautiful voices the holy names of Krishna. If you in your life cannot find the Lord, sing his names. Sing not only with your lips, sing with your heart. This is what the gopis taught us. They chanted in a beautiful raga the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes, this is what they did. They chanted in many ways. They chanted also song like Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nandala, 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 Jai Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala. Gopalanala, 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 Gopalanala. Many other songs. In fact, they became so much absorbed in Lord Krishna and his different activities that their consciousness became totally Krishna-ized, and they started to act out the pastimes of Lord Krishna. You see, our two parents who have a child, the consciousness is so much absorbed in the child that they have today a children's lecture. The child speaks to them. Parents have only eyes for their little child, especially when it's small and looks very sweetly. When a devotee of Krishna has only eyes for Krishna, he's so attached to Krishna, his consciousness is magnetically bound to Krishna. When the gopis sang like this, they became so entirely filled up with Krishna consciousness that they began to talk about Krishna, his activities, and so on. Finally, when nothing worked, they again took full shelter in the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then something wonderful happened. Would you like to know? Tasam arvirapuchchori smayamana mukambujah Pitambara dara shrakvi shakshan manmata manmataha. Then all of a sudden, Lord Krishna appeared before the gopis, a smile on his lotus face, wearing a garland and a yellow garment. He directly appeared as one who can bewilder the mind of Cupid, who himself bewilders the minds of ordinary people. See, when a person is under the influence of Cupid, do you know who is Cupid? Have you sometimes felt his influence in your life? When he influenced the life, he enters the heart and churns the life air, so that all you can think is your beloved, beloved. The women will think of a muscular man, and the man will think of lotus-eyed women, and their hearts are churned like whipped cream. Do we have whipped cream in America?
Yes.
We have.
Plenty.
Oh, God. that happens when you see Krishna. Your heart is becoming transformed, just like cream, when it is churned, becomes whipped cream. Your heart, when it is moved by love of Krishna, changes and becomes very, very, it is described, ablaze. It becomes brilliant. A heart which is full of love, Yashoda Dulal, becomes very brilliant. And the first symptom is that heart will shine through the eyes and through the effulgence. When you meet someone who has a dark aura, their heart is not full of love. But the moment someone's aura is full of love, his heart is churned by Krishna's sudden appearance in the heart. The heart becomes brilliant. Udipta is the Sanskrit word. And that brilliance manifests through the eyes. That's when you see a devotee, you feel so special because the love in his heart manifests through his eyes and through his whole aura. Through his speech also, and so on. So Krishna had churned the heart of the gopis, and now he couldn't stay away. He appeared in their midst. And Krishna was smiling. I read to you from a commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because although he was feeling pain and guilt in his heart that he had left the gopis, he wished the gopis to feel joy. So what he did is, he held in one of his hands the upper yellow shawl, which usually is wrapped around his shoulders, so that his chest was bare and could reveal the flower garment which the gopis had strung for him and hung around his neck. So, in this way, Krishna, you know, you can imagine, he had his upper garland like this, upper garment like this, and the garland like this, showing the gopis, you made this garland for me. See, I'm still wearing it. I'm caring for you, in other words. I consider this garland to be very sacred, so that I wear it on my bare chest. See, here, I care for you. Don't lament now. Hare Krishna. So, Lord Krishna gave in this way a sign. He brought the expanded into a form where he could be with all of the gopis simultaneously, and in this way he pacified them, and then he invited the gopis to the rasa dance area. Krishna played on his flute. The gopis belled. He stood in the middle of the gopis. The gopis made several circles around him and started to dance, and Krishna began to dance. And as he danced, he again expanded into as many gopis as there were, and these were billions of gopis. Remember, we are dealing with the spiritual world and not a dance discotheque in New York. We're dealing with an unlimited space full of ecstatic, blissful consciousness. And Krishna expanded himself to be next to all the gopis and show that he personally cares for all of his devotees. In the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna does this often. When he, for instance, feels that his friends are tired, he says, I am tired, because he knows the friends would not stop unless Krishna would stop herding the cows and playing his flute. So Krishna says, I am tired. Can I lie on one of your laps? One friend then goes to underneath the shade of a tree and offers his lap for Krishna's head to be like a cushion. And Krishna then lies down on that lap of his friend. But he knows there will be so many of my friends who all want that I lie with their head, with my head on their laps. And therefore, Ganeshyam, Krishna, your attention was momentarily gone, but now it's back. Therefore, Krishna manifested in as many Krishnas as there were cowherd boys, and allowed all the cowherd boys to serve him in the special capacity of being a lap for his head. How Krishna is reciprocally responsive to the desire of his devotee. This is Krishna who is reciprocally responsive to the love of his devotees. So, I want to now quickly come to an end. At this moment, the gopis had a question for Krishna. They tactfully started their question. They wanted to know, you know, Krishna had called them with his flute, and then he had apparently rejected or neglected them. Krishna was so, you know, the gopis were so heartbroken because of this. Because they were no longer sure, how does God love? He calls us and then he disappears. What is his definition of love? Don't we sometimes have a similar feeling? We have now become devotees. But where is he? Why is he so absent? Why is it so difficult to come close to him? Don't we sometimes feel like this? We do. So the gopis, they're wanting to know from Krishna, what is your definition of love? But because they were not New Yorkers, who have sometimes a rough language, you know, hey man! They very tactfully asked Krishna. They said, Krishna, please sit here. We have a question for you. There are three types of lovers. Could you tell us what type of lover you are? So it was a multiple choice. Yeah. One type of lover responds exactly in the degree in which he or she is loved. The other type of lover is an unconditional lover. That means even if the other person temporarily doesn't love him or her, the love nevertheless comes from their heart. And then there is an ungrateful lover. That is, you can love him, but he's just ungrateful and goes poo-ha. Are you like the first type of lover? That is, you respond according to the love which is offered to you? Are you an unconditional lover who is just loving no matter what the other party does? Or are you an ungrateful lover? Now the gopis had in mind that Krishna must say he's the third one, because see, the gopis had given everything to him, and then Krishna disappeared from their midst. But they wanted Krishna to say, I'm an ungrateful lover. They didn't want to accuse him by saying, you are this. So therefore they said, we have a question. That was their clever way of bringing Krishna into a dilemma. Huh? So Krishna then said something which is very, very important for all of us, his devotees in the world. He said, I'm neither. How do we say in proper English? I'm none of them. Thank you so much. You are the knower of the English language. I'm none of them. I'm in a fourth category. Sometimes, no, I want to increase the love of my devotees, and I do that by disappearing from their midst in order to increase their longing for me. And then Krishna gives an example. He gave the example that My devotees are at that moment like a poor man who has lost his wealth. And then what will he do? He will only think of his wealth. For instance, I never owned a computer, and I intend to never own a computer. But I can imagine. But now I have a computer dictionary, you know. I can just type any English word in there and get the German translation. And I'm developing a shadow of attachment for the world of computer now. I can imagine if I would lose this foolish thing now. I, who have never thought of computer up till this stage in my life, would all of a sudden start to think of my computer dictionary. It's a computer dictionary. So in this way, I would become computer conscious. So Krishna sometimes disappears from his devotee's consciousness or devotee's life, so that the devotee will think, I've lost my wealth, and in this way become Krishna conscious. This is how he acts. Krishna said to the gopis, O gopis, who do not know my real intentions, I will sometimes disappear from my devotees, but I'm not really gone. I'm there with my devotees in an invisible form, waiting to make myself visible. When I see the brilliance of their love shining more and more forth. I would like to read to you something from the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, where he makes this point, that Krishna makes this point very clear. You must know You must know that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. My devotees are very much attached to me, but sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly. We start again. You must know that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. My devotees are very much attached to me, but sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly in order to increase their love for me more and more. If I can very easily be approached by them, they may think, Krishna is so easily available. So sometimes I do not respond. If a person has no money, but after some time accumulates some wealth and then loses it, he will think of the lost property 24 hours a day. Similarly, in order to increase the love of my devotees, sometimes I appear to be lost to them, and instead of forgetting me, they feel their loving sentiments for me increase. My dear friends, do not think for a moment that I have been dealing with you as I do with ordinary devotees. I am so much obliged to you that I cannot treat you as ordinary devotees. Do not think that I was ever away from you. I was near to you. I was simply seeing how much you were anxious for me in my absence. You have given up everything of the world. I can't do the same. I have to abide by the Vedas. I have so many people to take care, but you have fixed your mind only on me. You ran out of the houses in the middle of the night, even though your relatives tried to stop you. You have only me, but I have so many devotees to take care of, so many devotees in the material world. You must know that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. I do this to increase their love for me more and more. I feel this is very important at the beginning of this Kartik, this understanding that when we are feeling the absence of Krishna, we should not think, oh, now I will get another God. Surrogate God? Car, money. I will get another God now. You should know, Krishna is there wanting to see how faithful you long for Him. And then, as He's watching you from a hidden place, a place where you can't see Him, but where from where He can see you, and sees how well you do in the upholding of your spiritual life, Krishna very quickly becomes manifest. First in your heart, that is, you remember Him, and then Krishna may become manifest when you look at the beautiful form of the deity in this world, and you see Krishna in the deity. All of a sudden, He stops being just a form on the altar, but He begins to talk to you. Krishna begins, in other words, to reciprocate to you. He may give you inspirations all of a sudden. And also, Krishna can reciprocate by sending you devotees who talk to you. And it's not that they talk, it's Krishna who talks through them in your lives. So in this way, Krishna, who has tested you, and who has checked you, becomes all of a sudden extremely inspired and reveals Himself to you. This is some of the secrets of this night, the moonlit night, or the night of the full moon. In Vrindavan, India, it is known that Krishna is now dancing in His invisible form with His dear devotees, the gopis. And what the devotees do of Krishna is they cook some sweet rice this evening, and they put the secret, the sweet rice, on the roof, so that when Krishna comes by in His dance of love, He will be able to help Himself to the beautiful taste of sweet rice, to strengthen Himself and become a little strong. So, Krishna, after having answered the gopis' question to the gopis' full satisfaction, became very, very ecstatic, and He invited all the gopis to the rasa dance, which takes place today, Rasa Purnima. My dear devotees and dear friends, please, we are now entering a very sacred month. You are very, very we are very fortunate that we could come together to hear a little bit about Lord Krishna. We also felt, when we were doing Harinam, very moved in transcendental ecstasy today, because of the special time and the special situation, and I want to conclude by saying to you that please make good use of this month. There are special times where certain undertakings are very, very successful. There's, for instance, an Akshaya Tirtha. It happens once in a year that whatever you start on that day will be successful. If you start a business, it will be successful. If you start a rock and roll band, it will be successful. If you start a new project, it will be successful. If you start a new item in your spiritual practice, you will be able to see it through. Just by the power of the constellation of the stars. So, they're favorable, but there are also times, unfavorable times. For instance, when a person is born in an unfavorable time, he can try whatever he wants. He will always be a loser. Hare Krishna. I've met many such people. Except he changes the platform and comes on the spiritual platform, then there's hope. So this month is a month where everyone, just by a little bit increased spiritual activity, can become a great transcendental winner on the spiritual platform. Do something simple. For instance, some of you chant. Give a promise that you will give it, you will see for it that the rounds which you chant are very concentrated rounds. That could be a good Kartik Vrata. Or let us say there is maybe someone else amongst us. You could make the Vrata that, okay, I'm never reading in the Bhagavad Gita or in any sacred Shastra because I'm a non-reader. But in the month of Kartik, I will read 3 verses a day from the sacred scriptures. You will be ecstatic in spiritual life. Or let us say another person of you is thinking, should I eat vegetarian or should I eat the killer diet? There may be a dilemma which way to go in one's dietary habits. Then you can, during this month, be a vegetarian who offers his food to the Lord, and you will have a very, very good spiritual experience. So anything, wherever you are, on what level you are, do something which is spiritual this month. This month is, to speak it in New York English, it's a sale. Love of Godhead is, and spiritual advancement is available to you by just a little tiny endeavor. Do a little bit more than you usually do. Why a little bit? You can also do much more. And in this way, you will see that your life will be quickly successful in the road of spiritual enrichment. Hare Krishna. Time is also there, and I will look now at, oh, so fast! What happened? 10 o'clock. We have not even started the program. Yes, Yagya Purusha Prabhu has a question. Please ask your question, Yagya Purusha. Yes.
Famous question. You described that Krishna disappeared in order to increase the hankering. And that makes sense. For the gopis, you know, for them it makes sense because they just saw Krishna maybe in the morning or the day before. They are so thoroughly attached, and then he leaves. And
but we have not seen.
When was the last time I saw Krishna? How many? So, and it's so difficult to keep that to see experience the non-manifest Krishna.
Yeah.
To have that experience.
You have understood the question. You must know something about Krishna. There is a very difficult to access form of Krishna, and there is a very easy to access form of accessible form of Krishna. The difficult form of Krishna is his transcendental, beautiful form, which is bedecked with garlands and a yellow dhoti. The very easy accessible form of Lord Krishna is Krishna in the form of his holy name. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written that my devotees worship me in the form of my holy names, and sometimes I am not present for my devotees. This is called dry chanting. You might have made the experience. We call it in Germany das Wüstenchanten, the desert chanting. You know that we go through a desert. So I do this. I'm not present when my devotees chant the holy name directly for them, but I'm present indirectly. I'm waiting to see how they will be purified by the humility. The devotees will say, I'm chanting and chanting, but I'm chanting only the syllables, not a drop of love of Krishna. I'm a very fallen devotee, very impure, my life is wasted. Hare Krishna. And then by this humility, which develops in the heart of the devotee, then Krishna will appear. This is what Lord Chaitanya also said. One can chant the holy name only in a humble state of mind, huh? Not in any other way. So Krishna, in this name form, is reciprocating with every sadhaka, just like he reciprocated in his form with the gopis. He reciprocates with the sadhaka, normal sadhaka, in his name form, which even an incompete is a word for an incompetent person, can do. And then Krishna acts in the same way. He is sometimes not present in order to make the devotee more humble. And we became, when we have this Japa retreat, we experience genuine humility. My relationship with Krishna is in the beginning. We feel like that sometimes. Yes. And this humility quickly draws the Lord's attention. Wonderful, isn't it? This is an answer given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Murli Varaka Prabhu. Yes.
We're chanting, the taste is gone. Now, Krishna could be withholding the taste. Or it could be my own Maya, my offenses, etc. If it's Maya, then I have to do something about it. If it's Krishna withholding the form, I just got to keep plugging on. So, how do we know?
How do we know when we don't feel the presence of the Lord and there is no taste, if it's Maya or if it is withholding Krishna, Krishna withholds himself? For practical purposes, both is the same. And for both, there is the same remedy. For Krishna is not there, that's the same. The practical remedy is for both cases which you mentioned the same. The reason why Krishna is not appearing to his devotees is because Krishna is disturbed by the offenses in the heart of the devotees. And the offenses can be broadband. Now we have broadband computer. Broadband offenses are also there. Broadband apparat. The attachments to I and mine. This means material consciousness. That is considered a roadblock to Krishna's full manifestation. I would like to give you a very nice example. Is ice always cooling? Imagine, and I mean, I wouldn't ask the question if it's a simple answer. An ice block, is it always cooling? Not if you have a glove made out of cork, or I mean that is only the baseball players, or what is it, the cricket players. Not if you have a woolen glove. So Krishna is not always cannot always be experienced as the Supreme Lord in his holy name when we are covered by the aparadas, by the offenses against the holy name. And then the moment we become free from offenses, the Krishna sun rises in our heart, Namabhasa, and manifests at the Shuddha Nam by and by, slowly and slowly. So I hope I have given you a good answer. It's not really within the two options which you gave in your questions, or the two possibility which you discussed. The third possibility is aparats which keep us away from Radha and keep us away from worship. So if someone wants to improve his chanting, the first step will be he will work hard to avoid the offenses, and then the second step is he will try to remember the form of Krishna while he chants, something which can be easily obtained if he sits and chants before the deities. And then the name and the form will become one if he has avoided the offenses. Krishna is fully there. Hare Krishna. We have just given this japa retreat. My dear devotees, you must visit a japa retreat. It's a must. Otherwise, where will we get the taste in Krishna consciousness? Yashoda Lila. It's very hard. The living entity's first meeting with God is God in the form of his holy name. Not in his form. The name that is in Vishwanath's answers to the question of Yajna Purusha. But today is an exception. Today is the full moon night, and today you will see Krishna dancing. I have an original movie of Krishna dancing. Radha Vallabha looks highly skeptical. I have to prove to Radha Vallabha that this is not just some statement. Oh, we need. Oh. Yeah. Good. We had just a discussion. You are not yet qualified to see this. next Friday, or what is it? Tuesday.
Not this Tuesday,
Friday. Next Friday we will see it. Because we have to first qualify ourselves by our practice in devotional practice in Kartik. You look very...
Maharaji, what is our homework to qualify?
What is your homework to qualify? You take a little improved spiritual practice, your Kartik Vrata, what you give to Krishna. But don't tell it to anyone, not even the husband. You must do it.
Not even to you?
Not even to me. Afterwards, when it's done, you can tell me. So, your homework is do something up till next Friday, and then you can see the dance of Krishna. I want to qualify what I mean. We have taken photos of these beautiful, beautiful Brijbasi dances where the little residents of Vrindavan dance, and it's considered while they are performing that Krishna is present there. So therefore I said it's a dance of Krishna, but it's like that, a dance of Krishna. It's not that we you can take a photo camera and just there's no camera. Only the camera of the purified heart can take the image of Krishna. No other camera is there. Not even the Zyko camera or the Sony camera or whatever camera. Pentafax camera or what. Simply not there. Alright, so with your kind permission, I will end my presentation. I hope you have taken something from this, and I wish you a wonderful Kartik. Kartik Vrata doesn't need to mean that you will now become the greatest Vrati who eats no sweets and doesn't sleep more than 2.5 hours and then has spiritual activities all the while. Kartik Vrata can mean just something on your level where you can increase. Huh? Be a little creative. You are in New York. Little creativity is not difficult here. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Go.
I'd like to thank Maharaj for giving us such wonderful faith in the chanting of the holy name, just to sum it up. I had the good fortune of being at this chapel retreat just this last week, and I can only reiterate what Maharaj said. We will offer these seminars, these retreats next year, so stay tuned here on the East Coast. So I would definitely recommend all of you. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your human form of life that you have taken, that you have an opportunity to chant, that you don't give 5 days to the holy name, and that will come. But you can start today and tomorrow also. There's little time to giving the student concentration. So let's express our gratitude to Maharaj for giving us this increasing our faith in the holy name, in the process of chanting, by not so loudly chanting Haribo.
Haribo!
Haribo! Haribo!